Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Cheers,
and welcome road tripping with RJ and Channing. And with that said, to my left is Channing Frye. To my right is Richard Jefferson. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. And joining us tonight is, I would have to say, the most fashion-forward guy in the NBA.
Oh, man.
The
most fashion-forward forward.
Yeah. Yes.
There we go.
He's a center, though, and it's Tristan Thompson.
He's a power forward.
He's a power forward. Center.
There we go.
He's multi-forwarded.
Oh my God!
Too early.
It's too early. Too early for the bad pun jokes.
Man, my bad. Here we go.
But hey, we're in Indianapolis, third city of this 4-game road trip, and we started in New York City, which was when you made a very powerful fashion statement.
Power moves.
You
know,
what were you trying to say with that jacket?
Looking at the schedule. 8:30, ABC primetime.
Oh,
it's only right in New York. You gotta come.
You gotta come fresh,
and you gotta come heavy.
Yes, I agree.
Like Ali said, you know, best dressed, fashion forward,
humble. Don't forget humble.
I'm just saying, I try to be great at what I do.
Yeah. So, who is your favorite designer to wear?
My favorite designer to wear?
Yeah, who's automatic? If you want to look good, you don't even need to worry. These clothes are always going to look good on you and, your favorite person.
But I think it depends on where you're going, right? If you're going to, the ESPYs, how we all looked
very, very great.
Were definitely the best dressed team.
Thank you,
there.
Zenya.
Who said that? Boy? You guys thought that?
No, we know.
Just look at it. Look at all the teams that have won the previous best team awards. Yeah. And you look at us, you're like, wow, these guys
top to bottom. Top to bottom. I think all of us wore tux except for one.
Yeah, I wore a sexy blue suit.
I wore a beautiful Tom Ford. So, you know, when I'm going to something very classy, I'm definitely going to wear some Tom Ford.
I went Ralph Lauren.
You can never go wrong.
Actually,
the best brand. Oh, Zenya's good too. Okay, right. I bought my first suit there when I was in 2011.
Channing's still in his first suit.
You were like, oh, how about Channing when he got the suit last minute at the wedding this summer?
Oh my God.
On Snapchat, that was funny.
Oh my God,
Ralph Lauren, Dobarel. I think that's a timeless brand, and I think you hit it on the head. You can always wear that to dress up, dress down, and it's never going to go out of style. You know, stuff's so trendy. You know, at what point guys used to wear the spike shoes, and it's like, if a guy wears spike shoes now, you're like, yo, dude, you're living in 2011. seriously.
Yeah.
Have you always been a fashion guy?
I've always been. Even when I was a little kid in high school.
In Toronto?
Going to H&M or going to Gap. I would still try to be, you know, fly and dress nice, but now that you're in NBA and everyone tries to make it kind of a challenge in the locker rooms.
You win with the coats.
Oh, yeah, you definitely.
You win every time.
I actually have one more coat left.
Uh-oh, I can't wait.
Do you know when
it's going to be worn?
I got to look at the schedule.
It's usually
a game against, a marquee game, you know.
LA?
Huh?
In LA?
No, you can't wear that.
No, you can't wear it in LA. It's too hot.
Let me stop you right there, because on Christmas, you wore the most I thought it was amazing. Yeah. Amazing for a jacket. It was 50 degrees almost in Cleveland. So
yeah, it was like my inner Frank Lucas going to the boxing match. And yeah, it was definitely as soon as I saw that we were playing home for Christmas, I was like, yeah, I'm getting a fur.
Okay, real
I'm getting
quick.
A fur.
This is a trivia question.
Yeah.
Somebody at this table there was reference to fur coats, and we talked about, uh-oh, PETA is not going to be very happy.
Yeah.
And they were like, what's PETA?
I'm just going to throw myself out.
I was going to just take a guess.
would you have guessed me?
Yes.
Yeah, because Channing like goes on the internet, so.
Yeah, the only PETA I've ever heard of is PETA Pit.
Yeah. Which have is you, great. Yeah.
Isn't that a sandwich?
Pita Jungle.
Yeah. It's a sandwich.
It's so fire.
Yeah. Oh, God. Here we go with another food reference. A fast food reference for Chan.
Not fast food. It's just healthy.
Healthy food fast?
Yes. Healthy food ASAP.
ASAP. But no, it's okay not knowing what pita is. That's part of this whole experiment that we're doing with road tripping. We're putting new experiences in
You're
front
being
of
vulnerable.
People.
We're learning.
A little sheltered.
You're being vulnerable.
I'll
a little.
Read books upside down.
Can we get off that, please?
For people that didn't listen to episode 3 or 4, I know you did, but Allie and Kevin had a little bit of a bonding moment because mm-hmm. they're both the middle child.
Aww.
And so Allie was like, yeah, I was so starved for attention. My mom.
No, I was not starved for attention. I just didn't get attention.
So you were starving for attention.
When you don't eat,
you're starving.
So you might have been starving, but you were mad hungry.
Yes.
I was only like
the refrigerator
3 years old.
Her mom found her behind a chair with a tear in her eye reading a book that was upside down.
So how did that – were you able to – I mean, were you just
Tristan
looking at the letters?
Tristan is so nice. You're taking it so little.
It was just one of those moments where I was like, okay, I'm starting to realize that I'm not going to get attention. I'm the middle child, and so mm-hmm. I'm going to have to just do what I can to survive. So you just
rebel!
Rebel. Yeah, there you go. There you go. But no, hey, I want to get back to this fashion thing. Yeah. Do you feel like you've stepped outside the box a little bit this year? Sorry, I'm just going to bring it up. How much does your girlfriend, Chloe, influence your style? Because on Christmas Day,
you're not going to come ragged. When you're on that many cameras, you got to step your game up.
Yeah.
Because look, Sweatsuit Shorty can't just be a regular Nike sweatsuit. That got to be a crispy John Elliott.
Yes, Teddy. It's impossible to do it. I got to step up.
I'm like, is Trista coming? Oh, dang it. I can't look like a ragamuffin no more because if I'm on TMZ, I'm going to get roasted.
I actually disagree with that.
I might make a cameo in the back.
They're going to be like your arm.
They don't know it's me. Yeah. Like, look at Jared's raggedy ass.
I disagree with that, though, because of all the TMZ photos that I saw of Tristan over the summer mm-hmm. when everything broke, he was in his sweat. Like, he
those
remained himself.
Okay,
he remained
those
Tristan.
Those are brand new Nike outfits. He popped the tag and put them on.
Yeah, but it's still, it's Nike.
Allie, can we address something? Probably
you're stalking?
A little bit. Yeah, how much TMZ stuff did you watch?
It's on my feed. I follow TMZ, so it's on my social media.
Oh, you're one of those. You probably follow World Star too, don't you?
I do.
World Star.
I
love World Star.
Stop the fighting.
We did not endorse World Star or Media Takeout or any of these garbage websites.
I agree. It's a bunch of garbage.
Yes. Hopefully, they'll write tons of articles about how much they hate us.
How much does Chloe influence it?
Well, you've seen me dress.
I have. Over the last five years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah.
Dang, it's been 5 years?
I know, right?
Yeah. Holy shit.
You can crack.
Yeah, you can cuss. Holy shit. I've always been very fashion forward, but like you said, the Christmas when we both wore the fur.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah,
we both talked about it. I brought it out, I was like, babe, I'm going to wear the fur. And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, you got to wear fur too. Like, we gonna make a statement.
His and hers.
Yeah,
his
we're
and
hers. Make a statement.
Yeah. I remember when I used to wear a matching jersey.
Oh, shut up.
Eighth grade.
Well, you had a jersey and she had a jersey.
You did not have a
home and away.
Channing, you did not have a girlfriend in eighth grade. Let's be honest. Channing, be honest. Be honest with our listeners. I've known you too long.
Yeah, honesty is everything.
When did you get your first girlfriend, Channing?
Long time. Same merit. Wow, it's like sophomore year of high school.
End of sophomore year.
God.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's all right.
I was saving myself.
Right.
You were saving yourself
for
marriage?
Yeah, find the right one.
Or freshman year in the dorms.
I remember the first time. I was in my dorm.
But anyways, hey. No. So
Channing is sweating.
This is a nice little segue. Oh, I sweat all the time, guys. Here's a segue. Your fashion is clean, but your game is rugged. When did you say, like,
oh, great.
I like that.
Listen. When did you say, you know what? I don't care if I don't score a point. I'm going to get every single rebound. And, like, just be that guy that defends and does all that kind of stuff? Like, when did you say, like, this is just me?
I got to give, you know, credit to Anderson Varejao with that whole mentality. I think, you know, when you come into the league and you're, you know, a top five pick, you got to figure out, like, what is your niche and what's going to keep you playing this game for a long time.
Tough, man.
And it's tough because everyone, you know, we've all been the guy and scored all the points and took all the shots and done all that. But when you get to the NBA, it's kind of like a puzzle. And I think you got to find where your fit is. And if you look at you guys, you know, shit, RJ's in, what, 16 years?
16.
And he's the baseline bandit. Drive baseline and finish. Like, he's made a living off that. And he's definitely improved his three-point shooting in the corner. And even you, Channing, I think, you know, your first couple of years, you had to figure it out too. And then you realize that, you know, Fry Island.
About that life. Yeah, about that life down there all the time.
Yeah, Fry Island, pull him out and wow. And just shoot that three. But I think for me, it's just – I just want to get every rebound. I think if that's the one area that you could be selfish in basketball is rebounding, because no one's going to complain.
The most impressive part about your rebounding is probably the fact that you also have Kevin, who's a double-double guy, and you have Bron, who's out there trying to get triple-doubles.
Oh, Bron always comes down with the Superman rebounds. It's like he just jumps over everyone. I'm like,
people
are
like, Channing, you only had three rebounds. I said, did you see who I played with? If I get three, that means these fools were either not on the court or they were tired or guarding somebody on the perimeter, and I just happened to grab one in my area.
Yeah.
But most of the time, either Bron or Kevin – or Richard, or Kyle, who rebounds way better than he gets credit for, or anybody else on this team.
Basically, you have a lot of excuses. You have a lot of excuses. To what it sounds like, because you're 7 feet tall and you're pretty athletic.
I'm usually the farthest person away from him.
But yeah, that's true.
No, well, okay, whatever.
Let's use that 16-year.
No, but it is tough because the one double double that I have in the last 2 years is when Kevin was out. Right.
Yeah. Same year.
Yeah.
How many times do you and Kevin fight for the ball? Because I've seen him many times calling the game that you both go out for the ball, and it's kind of like, okay, you go ahead, take it.
We both. I think it's just when I'm on a defensive, getting a defensive rebounds, I got to make sure I just jump higher than Kevin. Because one thing about Kevin, he definitely can clear space, and he'll snatch it.
Do you have a high vertical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top of the square.
Tell him.
I mean, I can touch the top of the square.
Oh, my God. But it takes you 8 seconds. You have to wipe off your feet.
Yeah, I just do it off straight first.
Ankle mobility. I'm going to need a good warm-up. Mm-hmm. Probably a 5 minute on the treadmill, a stretch. You're going to need to activate the glutes.
This is activation.
I don't think your vertical isn't shown. Your vertical isn't shown.
It's
your rebounds, it's shown on the lobs.
On the lobs, yeah.
On the lobs. That's what you get. And it's like,
and you jump both ways. And let's talk about this. One more thing, because people are going to ask this question, as they wanted to ask about the outlet passes. Okay. For you to be able to switch hands.
Yeah.
In the middle of your career is absolutely, well, let's say ridiculous.
I'm sorry. You're not using those words. Okay. I apologize.
No, it's no problem.
Who gave you that idea?
Who said, okay, we just got to scratch that.
It's not working out.
Crumple that piece of paper up. Use the other hand.
I remember that time. You were in the gym so long, all the time.
Countless hours. I think if I was born, no knock to Canadian basketball or just the development of or the evolution of Canada basketball. I think if I was like an American-born player and the guys like eat, dream, sleep basketball, I think I might have been right-handed earlier in my life just because a coach would have been like, nah, scrap that. Like you said, scrap that. That slingshot, no, get that out of here. We're gonna change it up. But, I mean, we were in Phoenix on the road, and practice is over. We're just messing around. And I'm shooting right-handed, and I'm just throwing it up. And it was actually Jeremy Pargo.
Wow.
Every time I talk to him, he says I owe him, like, half of my contract because of switching hands. But he's like, yo, why don't you just try? And I'm like, man. I'm like, shut up. I made the NBA being lefty. I'm going to do that the rest of my career. And then I just was at home one day. I was like, you know what? Let me not live with regrets. Why not try it? It can't hurt. That's not an easy
thing to do either, putting your guys' pride aside, no matter what it is sometimes.
Richard still hasn't done it.
Hey, let's
I definitely put my pride aside.
Let's
many times.
Let's road trip back to DC because that was an incredible game.
Wow, what a game! Game of the year, right? I think it's game of the year.
Oh, for sure. It's been so
far
long.
In the NBA, game of the year.
It's been so long.
Better than a Christmas game.
I think it was
overtime. It was when you hit a shot that is no timeouts, 3 seconds, the length of the pass. Like, it just, it was a shit. Like, they were talking, about like our chances
of
when they shot the ball, and from the moment Kevin caught the ball, our chances of winning were 3%.
Wow.
Right? Because it was like, first of all, we got to tie it and we got to get a three. Like, at that point in time, it's like
so much stuff has to go right.
And then and that's just to tie it. And then you have to go and win it in overtime. You combine that with then Bron fouling out in you know, a minute in the overtime. But I think that was a good strategic move to get me in the game. You know, so.
Tristan, there was a moment in the game you got so mad. Okay.
Say it.
Let me bring that back together. You got
furious.
You may have felt a bit disrespected. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, when you didn't get that lob.
No. Oh. When you were out, I think, one-on-one with either Beal or Wall.
Ooh.
And Kyrie came over. I've never seen you react that way, because then he got beat back, like, on the help side.
Yeah, on the help side,
because he came over to help you. But you take a lot of pride in that.
Oh, definitely. I feel that.
But you, like, jumped up and down.
Yeah, I feel that, you know, if it's me on a guard, I switch on the guard. I don't want help. I don't want help. I like to take that challenge, especially because I'm a defensive guy, and that's what I hang my hat on. Mm-hmm. I take that personal. It's like, you know, Channing and RJ shooting threes. You know, if they miss, they're pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, so for me, guarding a guy, whether it's a guard or a big, like, I want to take that challenge. So, you know, when Kyrie pulled over, I was like, no help, especially on him. Like, no disrespect, he's a good player. But no, like, Kyrie, I've guarded you in practice.
Yeah.
And you're better offensively than Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guard him like I'm guarding you. And I feel like, you know, it's not a disadvantage for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a few mistakes made in that game.
But it's part of the game. It's part of the game when we learn and take a lot of pride in it. Yeah,
like, that's what I think it was just.
What?
Sorry. What are you doing? What are you
doing? Well, then again, he had my back. As a brother, he had my back because he didn't want to leave me on the island by myself.
He did.
But at the same time, it's like, no, I got this.
And
tilt. Tilt everywhere. Chitty, you're not.
Yeah, I would be. Tilt. There's no scenario. I won't say no. Let's say there's no. But yeah, I get you. Like, if you're in a situation where someone that you have control over, like, as a defensive
guy, you're almost the same way too.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to come.
You actually, if the guy is a really good player, you will definitely put the hard hat on and guard him defensively.
Well, right.
It's when you play the guys that are the in-betweeners.
The 6 to 12 points a game guy.
Yeah, then RJ
he gets like,
I will be 100% honest. Like, if you take away, like, I've been blessed. I've had no injuries here or there. But if you take away the dunks and all the other stuff, I can't do that every single night. Like, I have to pick and choose my battles. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm not going to go the path of least resistance, but I'm going to, like, okay, look, I can't sit here and try and D up John Lure like there's no tomorrow. Like, think that tomorrow, the next night, when they ask me to go all Paul George, that I'm going to have some energy left. So it's like, you know, I try and be really efficient against players that are probably role players, try and be really efficient, try not to make any mistakes, and then against the studs and the stars, then you have to treat it almost like a playoff game, where you can't give them any break. You can't, you know, whether you're guarding Carmelo in New York or Paul George, or even for moments I was chasing around Bradley Beal. You know, like, and it's, again, I'm a 36 year old guy trying to chase around a 25 year old. Like, that's not fun. Not for long stretches.
You did that in the finals last year.
Yeah, and I was ready.
That's all that was left.
That was all that was left. I was ready to retire.
You actually announced.
I announced my retirement. I was like, no, I was so mentally drained. It hurts.
It hurts.
And it was like, you do it, and especially after. No,
it hurts. Like, I'll just use this. In Atlanta series, I had to guard like Paul George and Al Horford.
Paul Millsap.
My bad. We're in Indiana. Okay.
Yeah.
So like, you're super locked into these guys. And, like, the minute they cross half court, it's like underneath that three-point line, they have to fight you for every little ounce of, like, space. And so that battle between, you know, 250-pound men, like, for everything is just emotionally taxing. Like, I'm a nice guy and I love everybody, but I learned to, like, hate people's guts. I didn't like the way they dressed. I didn't like their shoes. I didn't like the way they tied those suckers.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, it's just tiring to be like that. So to ask Richard to do that, as much as he is, as old as he is, as crotchety as he is amazing and a testament to him.
I don't even know what that means. But, you know, like when you are having to guard someone, and NBA fans out there don't really fully understand, but when you're having to guard someone, like if you have an Anthony Davis night and your job is just to lock in on him and make his life as difficult as possible, it's tough to go get rebounds.
It's tough.
And that's what makes it so impressive when you look at guys like Bron that can go and put up a ton of numbers, but also impact the game in so many different ways. But like, if you're telling me tonight to go guard Paul George or to guard whoever, I don't have energy to go chase down rebounds. Like my job is to stop this guy from scoring and to do that. And then if I can, yes. But it's tough to be like, oh, Richard's going to go have 10 and 12. And chase around Bradley Beal?
No.
Yeah, that's
going to
be tough.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. You get paid to do that.
No, that's not what I get paid. That's not what I get paid.
Not
at the minimum.
Do you know what I do? I am, and I think there's other guys in this league.
He's a good team guy.
Yeah, I am a fill-in-the-gap around the superstars. That's what I am. You have the superstars, and if LeBron's in foul trouble, I can go guard Carmelo for a short amount of time. I can compliment LeBron on the fast break and he can make a pass. But as far as telling me that I have to go get a double-double, they're going to have to the people that get paid to do that get paid like $8 to $10 million a year.
I didn't mean to go get a double double.
Like 10 to 12 now.
But I just don't.
10 to 15.
Cap went up 10 to 15.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. 15 to 20. Then
Luol Deng is making $18 million this year.
I don't mean to go get a double double every night, but when you say that you just don't have the energy, I can't buy that.
Oh, it's a
No, I'm not saying the energy. Like what I'm saying,
it's not his focus.
You have to pick.
Yeah, it's not his job. Okay, because we're like, your job is to lock in on him. If you box out, like let's say Paul George tomorrow. If Paul George gets one rebound and he gets 25, but he's shooting like 3 for 20, mm-hmm. that's a great night, because if Richard has 2 points and, you know, two rebounds,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's it. It's our job to get that board once he takes a bad shot, get out and go run, and then just like hopefully Richard has enough energy to make his corner three.
Let me put this on the table. After all that you just mentioned, how amazing is it that this guy has played this many games? What is it, 400 and...
400 starts a lot of games. Jesus Christ.
It's a lot of games.
Consecutive.
You got a long way to go.
Yeah, I think he should just call it a day.
I mean, a lot of people have told me it might be...
No. Do it for you, man. Listen, all 82 is amazing. To do what you did, just keep doing it, because...
I've done it a few times. It's overrated. Listen, I played 82. Yeah. I would have played 82. I'm on pace to play 82 this year if it wasn't for me deciding that life is more important and taking the time away to spend with my son. But part of playing 82 is this: you're not taking a day off for rest, and you're not and you haven't been injured. But there are many days if you play 82 that you're banged up, mm-hmm. like that you don't feel great, and that's where the true testament is in your streak. But I personally think there are bigger things on the table than the streak mm-hmm. that you know we need you healthy for, and lots of guys have tried to convince you of it.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Thank God for the All-Star break.
Thank God for All-Star break. I'm not doing nothing but
nothing.
Ooh, the sand.
Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going to Jamaica.
Of course you are.
Are you going with Chloe? And okay, yes, sorry, we got to get back to this.
All our lady listeners, here we go. Here we go. Here's a 5-minute segment. Here we go.
She's been waiting.
5 minutes. We're gonna give this 5 minutes. Here we go.
She has been waiting for pop culture. She's like, okay, basketball aside, enough of that.
That's the thing is, I respect my profession and what I do, and so I've never obviously brought this to you until now.
By profession, mean host of this amazing podcast.
Absolutely, but this is the platform to do that. It's an opportunity for him to be unfiltered and kind of open up a little bit. Not that I'm saying you have to. However, I just want to know. And I know a lot of people want to know this.
What you want to know?
How in the world did you two meet?
It was actually Brandon Jennings.
Okay.
On a blind date.
Oh, what? How is it blind if you guys know each other?
Well, they didn't know. You didn't know.
We didn't know. Like, so Brandon kind of set it up because Brandon is very close to Salt and Pepper, my guy Simon Savez. Shout out Simon Savez. It's me, Brandon, and my two guys. So Brandon's like, hey man, come to the
the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I'm like, it's Monday. I'm like, oh man, I just want to relax.
Okay.
I'm like, and he's like, you know, a lie. You know, he said, you know, I'm gonna have someone there for you. And I'm like, who? He's like, just come on, man, come on. And he always mentioned that he was very close with Chloe. And I'm like, okay, Brandon. Okay, whatever. So then I show him and she's there. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay.
What's up? What's up?
I'm like, oh, wow. And, you know, she's looking beautiful. And I'm like, where's the wine? Where's the wine?
I need to get loose.
Where's the wine? So, you know, Brandon set that up. And I mean, that's probably one of the best lobs he's ever thrown in his career.
Yeah. So how hard – okay, thanks for answering that. How hard is it, though, given – I mean, think about it. Your guys' celebrity life and her celebrity life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's two different ball games,
of
right?
Of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the way we do it is just how we have it right now is just cool. Like, we don't do the most, or we don't – you know, she's a star what she's do and what she does, and, she, you know, she's great right now with the Revenge body and –
great show.
And good American jeans. And, you know, us, we're the Cavaliers, and we're, the, you know,
defending, you know, champs.
Defending champs, and we some cool. So I think it works because we both understand each other's life, and we both respect it. Mm-hmm. And we understand, like, me and her, we're both on our grind. Like, you know, she's got what she's got going on, and she wants mm-hmm. to keep being great at what she's doing, and I want to keep being great at what I do. So I think just because the best thing in a relationship is when both sides understand each other's life and
get it.
So mm-hmm. it just makes everything smooth. It's like no drama, no headaches. It's like it's all smooth, and I'm happy, and then I'm able to just focus on hooping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all.
When
that's
you
all
respect each other, you support each other, what you're doing.
Yeah.
It makes it easy.
Of course. Right. Of course.
Yeah. You guys have done just from the outside looking in, and when obviously
stalking.
Given.
Stalking.
I'm not stalking.
You're stalking.
I follow
stalking.
You guys, but I'm not yeah, stalking.
Yeah. I follow you guys on every venue.
Snapchat.
But I'm not stalking.
No, but I think what. Take it for what it's worth. It's just my two cents. But you guys have done such a good job of keeping things like private and
yeah.
keeping it to you.
Yeah, like, you know,
and there's a lot of respect that comes there.
Yeah, you know, people are gonna put anything in the tabloids, and mm-hmm. you know, we're not gonna address that stuff. Like, for what? Because once you open those can of worms, then people are gonna always expect. So we just keep it how we want. We keep it private, but, you know, people are gonna see us together. We put a picture up, But, you know, I like how we have it. We just have it. It's just cool and it's organic. It's not a force. It's just. We just vibe.
That's awesome.
We just vibe out.
That's awesome.
Like, Allie, are you happy? Mm-hmm. Allie, did you know?
Yeah, I enjoy that stuff because yeah. it's life. It is what it is. And yeah. it's a part of your guys' life and what you do. Yeah, you're these professional athletes, but you also have your family and your personal life that you guys have to kind of control outside of what you do on a daily basis. Yeah.
Tristan, you didn't even know that I went to school with Courtney.
Until you told me.
Yeah. yeah. Well, no, she told you.
Yeah, she told me. Yeah, she told me. And they're trying to, she goes to U of A, so we got to give U of A a shout out.
U of A shout out. Wow, that was loud.
We give U of A a shout out.
We give you a shout out all the time. No, it was funny because when we were in school, like she, I lived up at Star Pass, which is like the nice apartments for like the athletes lived up there, but most of a lot of times was the East Coast kids. And so Channing knows about Star Pass, and so it was like I knew Courtney through a bunch of different people, and but she was just Courtney.
Yeah,
like she wasn't like Courtney Kardashian. But she was older than me, so like her boyfriend at the time lived in New York. So when they all graduated, they moved to New York, or she was always out there visiting. And I got drafted by the Nets, so I used to see them all the time. And then like a couple of years later, I would say probably about 3 or 4 years later is when the Keeping Up with the Kardashians started, and I was just like wait a second. That's little Courtney, isn't
yeah.
it? And it was just funny though, just seeing all the friends. And then when you did that, or when you got together with Chloe, it was just kind of like, man, this is a weird, weird circle. It's a weird. I'm 36 years old and you're 21, and so no, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just weird, and I think it's pretty funny to see how worlds can kind of collide in different things. Like,
together, yeah.
You're an NBA champion. Like, she's one of the biggest TV stars out there. Her family is. But it was like it's people don't understand that you're just normal people. Like when Courtney was in school, she was just Courtney.
Courtney, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Channing, do you know Kim? I mean, do you have a history with Kim? Can we complete the circle?
No, I got no history.
He's got no history.
I'm low key. I am low key shouting for real.
Maybe Robert?
No.
No.
No, I know nobody cool other than like
no one.
I know nobody. I keep it low key. I'm a dive bar kind of guy.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. You're a die-hard kind of guy, Allie.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
I'm an Ohio girl, like small town America.
Dude, of course.
I went to the University,
the fake UT.
Okay.
The fake UT.
What is?
University of Toledo, the fake UT.
Oh, man.
How does that make you feel?
It actually, I take a lot of offense to it.
She's
very sensitive. I take a lot of pride in my university. Which
Toledo
these guys
tornadoes.
Have no clue.
She's like Kevin Love's into
horns, longhorns all day, every day.
You went there for 15 minutes.
Well, that's fine. It was a fun 15 minutes.
Right, RJ?
I was in Austin. A great 15 minutes.
There's one, like Channing played there.
Every player at the University of Arizona knows how awesome Arizona is. Mm-hmm. We played you guys when you got that new arena. We won. we went out that
Nobody
night.
Nobody cares.
Oh, they love it. We went out that night. When I tell you the next day, we all looked at each other and said, if there was one college we would go to, it would be the University of Texas. I've never been to Austin.
Why?
Sixth Street.
When I tell you,
it's unbelievable.
The women at that school.
We're not talking about the women. I know the academics are unbelievable.
School of the first class is our motto.
Again, this is not that type of conversation.
Right.
What I'm saying is that when we went to that school, because we did the exact same thing, we played there, and actually it was kind of crazy because we were number one in the country. Texas was five in the country, and so it was the first time that two top five teams had met at that arena.
Okay.
And President Bush, who was actually the governor at the time, was at the game because it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And I remember walking out or running out, and there was just rows of girls doing the little, like, the horns.
Yeah, horn.
And, like, we're running out. We're not running out to cheerleaders. We're running out to, like,
normal.
Just girls in
civilians.
Jeans. And, like, cowgirl jeans. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
And then boots.
Cowgirl boots.
I don't know what they're called. But it was pretty intense. And so we're walking around, and it was just, like, unfortunately, like, so it was like we played on Saturday, so we got there Friday night and we wanted to go out, but we knew it was a big game. And then because we played Saturday during the day, we left that night.
Sucks for you guys. Oh, that sucks for you. We stayed the night.
Oh, my God.
We had a great time.
In college,
the library is extensive with plenty of books.
Shout out to Austin at 6th Street.
Shout out to Austin, boy. Let me tell you.
You guys want to go out the night before games, though, right?
I'll tell you what, Arizona looked like they went out the night before they played Oregon. But we were fortunate.
They lost, they got badly.
Oh, they got walloped.
So we were fortunate in the way.
Gene's tough to play out there, though.
Yeah, the Pac-10 is situated because 12. You had the Pac-10 at the time. Thank you, Channing, for correcting me. But you had Oregon, Oregon State, USC, UCLA, Stanford, Cal. So you would just stay in one central location and then go and play one team and then go and play the other.
Right.
So the key was to win the first game so you could just party for like two straight days.
Yes.
And again, you were college, so most of us weren't 21, but if like you knew a kid from your high school, or you knew the other team.
Yeah,
something along those lines, and they could take you out to a house party, or they can take you roaming around. And we were idiots, and this was before social media, so I wouldn't say we were idiots, but it was before social media. So we were
idiots, wearing
all of our Arizona gear. So everybody knew, like, oh, that was the basketball team, hoping that we could get invited to some party or
that's how you guys rolled.
Yes.
Arizona
That was, we went there because we wanted to be, you know,
the man. And we were.
Some of us.
Yeah, you had to wait for Celine to give you the ball.
I got it off the rim.
You're lying.
You're lying.
Trailed through the
Hey, look at this time.
I used to watch y'all on CBS. I watched Arizona.
Barbecue chicken.
This dirty afro.
Oh, his afro was trash.
You had an afro?
Curly afro.
It was not huge.
It was huge. It was super long. It gets tight.
No. It might have pulled long, but it was packed.
It was packed.
Yeah, okay.
It was like stretched from like NBA Street.
Exactly.
PS2 game.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you did mention the time, though, Channing. And part of being on the road, we're going to
Road tripping.
Exactly. We're going to have to cut this off because Tristan has a dinner date with LeBron, right? 8:15?
Well, dinner
9:15,
crew.
9:15, excuse
dinner
me.
Crew.
Dinner crew,
dinner
yeah.
Dinner crew.
Yeah.
So dinner crew.
Where are you guys headed?
We don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, you're going to?
I don't know.
He's part of dinner crew. Channing and Andre are usually part of dinner crew.
Yeah,
but they've been flaking last.
No, it's just
days.
Tough to keep. It's tough to like Bron.
You guys eat so late.
Bron is the number one camaraderie guy in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
He wants to go to dinners every single night. We went to dinner last night.
Yeah.
You went to dinner last night.
Yeah, but, well, I was at.
But
yeah.
You go to dinner every single night, and you're just like, I'm tired. I need a nap.
I'm very tired.
Yeah.
I'm very tired, unfortunately. Yeah. But I'm going to go
chicken
anyways.
Wings.
But I did.
Channing mainly goes hoping that LeBron pays.
100%.
That's like
100%.
Does
and
he pay?
I figure. No. Like, he takes care of a lot of things. We do chip in a little bit.
Yeah, this dude, Bron orders this amazing wine, has app set up, like orders like a crazy steak, and Channing puts $151 out. Or no, it was like
$150.
No,
but yeah, it was $150.
No, it was $100.
No, it was $150 because look, in my wallet I had another $100, so I want to see what everybody else is going to chip in. I'm like, yo, like what's up, homies? There's about 8 or 9 of us, so look, we all going to chip in. I'm not good with math, so you just tell me what you need.
We learned about that on episode 1.
Yeah, not good at math.
I like that. I didn't know that.
The what?
That's awesome.
That LeBron pays like that.
He does. He does.
Do you guys take turns? I mean, are there moments where
Well, so like we went.
Dunn paid one time in DC, and then
never again. He saw that.
Bill.
We went to breakfast this morning at right across the street at Le Pain Quotidien. It's an amazing space, French toast. If you guys ever get a chance to get it, yeah, we went.
Yeah, I woke up a little.
So it was like Bron, DJ Montage, Bron's mom. So I picked up breakfast.
You know what?
I was like, hey, don't worry, Bron, don't worry. I got this. I got this, big guy.
Yeah. Again, that's how you roll.
That's how we roll. Look, you know what? We pick opportunities. Right. He's the highest paid guy in the NBA, and I'm barely over the minimum salary.
You made 10 for 10.
10 for 10. That's
10
it.
For 10, 10, baby. 10 for 10. 10 for 10. That's pretty good.
That's all that matters.
All right, well, that's rolling us straight into the finish line. Tristan. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you.
Thanks
I had a great
us.
Time. Let me finish
Tristan, will you join us again is what we want to know.
I would definitely, if I get an invite.
We're going to have, I think,
always invited.
We're going to have you and your rookie counterpart, Kyrie, on again. And then probably we'll have Big Fella.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be a good time, maybe.
Maybe we'll subscribe, right? That's what it's called, subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe.
Right.
Y'all need to subscribe because I said so.